Hi, this is Russ Walden with Father's Heart Ministry, and this is the Mentoring Minute. Today, when prophecy wounds, how to reclaim God's love in your prophetic encounters. So again, welcome back. We've already done an inaugural broadcast of the Mentoring Minute. So welcome back to the Mentoring Minute. And today we're diving into the heart of prophecy. Prophecy is a gift that is often misunderstood and sometimes, you might say, often misused. Did you know that Revelations 19:10 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? And who is Jesus? Jesus is love. So it stands to reason that prophetic words, even personal words, should be soaked in love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. And we know that Jesus, as one component of the Trinity, Jesus is God, therefore Jesus is love. Thus, when prophecy, if it's supposed to be the testimony of Jesus, it's going to be the testimony of God's love. I've heard many prophets boasting about somebody they just eviscerated. In fact, they used that. They were teaching about how to move in the prophetic, and they said that if you're not doing that intensely negative takedown of people, then you're not a true prophet. Let's think about 1 Corinthians 13, otherwise known as the love chapter of the Bible. Now, love is patient, love is kind. And it's interesting because the whole conversation surrounding 1 Corinthians 13 is about contrasting moving in prophetic gifts with the character of God and God's love being made manifest, which is greater. And so what if you can move in the gifts of the Spirit and give all these amazing words of knowledge? If there's not love, then we have a problem. So let's substitute, just briefly, just for the purposes of learning, let's substitute love is patient, love is kind. Let's, since prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, it's telling us about him, therefore its character should be love. Let's substitute the word prophecy. So prophecy is patient. Prophecy is kind. Doesn't that paint a powerful picture? Look, our words, especially those words spoken in prophecy, they paint powerful pictures, and they should build up, encourage, and comfort, and never tear down. Jesus didn't even tear down the woman taken in adultery. Isn't that amazing? He just said, don't do that anymore. Paul says, without ambiguity, in 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, the person that is prophesying, it doesn't say the general congregation, but a prophet, he's got the 007 anointing, he can rip people apart and put them back together because that's his calling. No, it says he that prophesies or she that prophesies is speaking unto men in edification, that's building them up. Exhortation comes from the word, it's a blast of wind, to bring the wind of God into their life. And comfort. Listen, I'm called to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. I beg your pardon. Even with those that need correction, Romans tells us that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repent. So if you're speaking to someone ostensibly, they need to repent, so I'm just going to take them down and rip them to pieces. No. If you're doing something other than giving them God's goodness, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repent. If you're prophesying something other than God's goodness, then you've got a goal other than repentance. In other words, what are you trying to do? Make yourself look good? you know, make yourself look powerful because you're ripping somebody to pieces. Listen, we need to ensure that our prophetic words reflect God's love. It's real simple. How do we do that? Ask yourself, because the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Some people say, well, that's how God gave it to me. Listen, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You are responsible for how you deliver a word. And you cannot cop out and saying, well, that's how God told me. He told me to just skewer that person. No, he didn't. Because God is love. The apostles tried to do that in Luke 9. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven? He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy, but to save. In that one chapter, in that one interaction, Jesus reconfigured the prophetic from an old covenant paradigm of sin, death, and judgment, calling down fire from heaven, to a new covenant paradigm of grace and love. Particularly in the realm of the prophetic. So let's be vessels of God's love, not just in our lives, but in prophetic ministry. And if you've received words that were other than expressing God's love, you have permission to set that word aside. You're supposed to, words have to be judged. And the primary judgment of a word comes, is the prerogative or the privilege of the person who receives the word. So, what's the takeaway? Prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And since Jesus is God and God is love, then the character of the prophecy and the prophet who gives the prophecy should be love. Personal prophecy should reflect the qualities of love that are expressed in 1 Corinthians 13. Prophecy builds up, encourages, and comforts. True prophecy aligns with the new covenant paradigm of grace and mercy. How do we respond to this? Number one, dive into the scriptures. Don't take my word for it. Go read your Bible. Revelations 19:10, 1 Corinthians 13. Read those passages, how they segue into one another. Number two, examine your prophetic words, words that you have given and words that have been given to you, words you've received. Examine the word you're going to give against the standard of love. Examine words you've been, that have been imparted to you by others against the standard of love. And if they can't pass that sniff test, that filter, then you have permission to set them aside. Does that mean they're false prophecy? Not necessarily. They're just immature or misdirected or just skewed in their thinking. We need to be very reticent to jump all over, oh, that's a false prophecy. Yeah, false prophecy does exist. But I think we use that to beat people up. And just because they're beating you up doesn't mean you have permission to strike back with your condemnation of that person. Number three, repent. Listen, seek forgiveness for those unloving prophetic words that you've given. That's really tough for prophets because prophets have a lot of ego. You know, when you say, thus saith the Lord, and then you have to repent, listen, you're responsible for how you give those words. Just repent, relax, take a breath, and let the character of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus, Jesus is God and God is love, saturate those dry leaves of condemnation that you've been releasing under the, ostensibly under the auspices of thus saith the Lord. Practice. Speak words of encouragement. Go encourage somebody today. Go build somebody up. Go exhort them. Go comfort them. And then share. Share the message of the love of God through your prophetic ministry. So remember, and why would we do all of this? Because love never fails. Oh, prophets are all about repentance. Yes, they are. Again, Paul said in Romans, he said, it is the goodness of God that leads men to repent. If you want to give somebody, see somebody come to repentance, go speak God's goodness. Do you trust God's goodness? Just speak God's goodness, and God's goodness will bring them to repentance. Why? Because love never fails. I hate failure. I hate failure. And when you're moving in love, love never fails. It's the fail-safe zone. Let your prophetic words be an outpouring of God's love, transforming people's lives for His glory. So that's the mentoring minute for today. I'd like to hear from you. Send me an email, russellwalden@gmail.com, RussellWalden@gmail.com. I'd like to hear from you. Visit us on the web at www.fathersheartministry.net. Check out all the breakthrough resources we have there to put you over in life, because that's the whole purpose of the prophetic. Believe the prophets, so shall you prosper. And you look that word prosper up, it means come to breakthrough. It's really interesting that we misquote 2 Chronicles 20:20. It doesn't say believe the prophecies, although we should believe the prophecies when they're accurate and anointed and come from God. But it says believe the prophets. There's a lot of people who believe prophecies, but they are ready at the drop of a hat to not believe in a prophet. No, believe the prophets. When people have received prophetic words and not prospered because of the attitude they had toward the prophetic. I'm here to be the prophet in your life. Just like you need a pastor, and you do need a pastor, you also need a prophet. Again, visit us at www.fathersheartministry.net. God bless you.